Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Hey guys, on today's episode, we have a really unique and fun guest. Her name is Jessica Bird, and she talks all things sex and psychic.
Oof, we covered so much, you guys, just from like the energetics of what does it mean to be your erotic energy, as well as what does it mean to like really be in your power? What does it mean to like really align and live a very expressed life while also feeling safe within yourself, feeling like you can protect yourself, feeling strong, feeling respected, honoring your boundaries, and just like living your life from your most authentic truth.
Jessica Bird is a speaker and intuitive advisor who specializes in intuitive and erotic intelligence. So you can imagine this conversation was juicy. A born clairvoyant and former financial advisor, Jessica now helps leaders deepen intimacy in relationships, unlock creative genius in business, and align with soul purpose and develop intuitive insights. Her methodology is simple. Your body is the technology. Erotic energy is the power source. Intuition is the GPS. And when that system comes online, life rearranges itself to really give you the destiny you are meant for.
So I really think you're going to love this episode. Enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode on the Fully Express Podcast. We are so excited to bring a new friend that we've met since she's moved to Laguna, which I can't believe you moved almost over a year ago.
I know.
Already.
Yeah.
This is Jessica. Jessica, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I've been really excited about this. I know it was last minute, but I was like, this is perfect.
It's always divine timing, I feel like.
And I've been to a few of your events.
Yeah.
And I've just been blown away by the caliber of women that you attract and what you curate and facilitate. So I was like, yes, I'm honored. I would love to be a part of this. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did we not run into you sooner?
I know.
Than this. But here we are.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. I'm so excited for people to get to listen to you because I feel like the way that you express yourself is expansive. Mm-hmm. And you have such a beautiful story. So we can start at the beginning, but I also want to get into the weeds of like what your process has been.
Yeah.
And of course we'll start so much, but from the little that I know you is that you were in corporate, primarily finance, and now life looks a lot different.
Drastically.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us what that means.
Yeah. I mean, I went from fashion to finance to now being a Oracle, intuitive, quantum healer, specializing in erotic energy. I help women unlock their intuitive and erotic intelligence. So your psychic senses, your sexual energy. Never in a million years would I have thought that this would be my work, that this would be my life. It was just a divine orchestration over time. I didn't know this existed. Mm. You know, I wouldn't have known to put this on a vision board, but it was following a very nonlinear path, a very intuitively guided path, and taking steps that didn't make linear logical sense that led to this. So I can go into whatever portion of the story you're interested in.
Yeah, I mean, from finance to sex priestess, quite a jump.
It's a big jump. So I was born intuitive.
Okay.
Always super clairvoyant. I'm a seer. I see energy. And as a little kid, I didn't know the difference between the spirit world and the physical world. Mm. It was all the same for me. I just saw and I felt. I've always been a deep feeler, very empathic, which I think a lot of women can relate to.
Yeah.
And I just absorbed everything as a child. Mm-hmm. I learned as a coping mechanism as a really little girl that I was in a kind of a emotionally tumultuous, volatile upbringing. Mm-hmm. Parents divorced at a young age type of thing. And so I learned how to manage other people's emotions so that I could feel okay. I'm like, well, if you feel okay, then I'll feel okay because I don't know the difference between you and me.
Right.
There's no boundaries, you know. And around age 5 or 6, I shut down my clairvoyance. after a very specific experience that I decades later uncovered. And then in my 20s, I'm working in finance after studying fashion design, having a jewelry line, like creative. And then I was like, I need stability. And so I got into finance. I'd been in sales for a very long time. So it was bougie sales in finance.
Yeah.
And it was after a breakup. I started going to yoga. My heart cracked open. And I learned the word chakra at a yoga class. And I went down a deep dive. And this was before spirituality was trendy. All of my psychic abilities that I shut down when I was little just flipped online. Seeing things, feeling things. I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, is this past, present, future? Whose is this? You know, so I'm in a pencil skirt and a collared shirt, you know, creating a financial plan and collapsing on the floor because there was so much energy running through me that in hindsight, I know it was happening. But then I was like, do I have low blood sugar? I'm fainting. I'm trying to drink orange juice throughout the day. They called the ambulance.
Oh, no.
I went to the hospital. Western medicine had no idea what was going on. It was just everything was opening. Wow. And I had no idea where to turn.
Were you having like a kundalini awakening? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I think so. It was the heart cracking open. Opened room for so much more of that energy to flow.
Yeah.
And then that turned on all the psychic senses. And so it was just so much, yes, energy running through my body in places that I had previously shut down. So it was my system was just like glitching, you know, like, what do I do? I didn't have the capacity. I didn't have, I didn't know how to regulate my nervous system, but I was in yoga. So I was like, I'll hit child's pose. And that's all I knew how to do. I was like, I can hit child's pose and breathe. Yeah. And so I just synchronistically found mentors along the way to help me harness and refine my abilities. But I was in the spiritual closet. I was a financial advisor. You know, we couldn't, that those two worlds didn't mix. So I'm at a yoga festival in Houston, sitting in a meditation circle. And a guy came to sit down next to me and I waved my hand to kind of welcome him in. And he shot back and said, what was that? And I was like, what do you mean? And I like, I was embarrassed because I was practicing energy healing behind the scenes. But like taking away my boyfriend's headache. My mom came in for, I don't know what. And, but I, this was not public. And the girl next to him said, no, no, I felt that too. You're obviously a very powerful energy worker. Take this as a sign. If you're not doing this, like, you should do this. And I was like, okay. A stranger, a woman, sat down in front of me, just kind of expecting energy work, intuitive reading. And I was like, well, so I did my thing and I rubbed my hands. I started feeling around her body. I didn't touch her. And I went to her lower back and, you know, I was like, do you have lower back pain? She was like, chronically. No one knows what to do with it. And I said, well, this is what I'm seeing. You know, there's a crack in your foundation and a foot is on either side. And it's like, you've got to make a decision or it's, everything is going to crumble underneath you. She broke down crying and said, oh my God, I want to leave my marriage, but I have a young son. I don't want to rock his foundation. So I'm afraid to leave. Like, how did you know that? And we do this whole session to help her get clear. And she cried in my arms and said, this changed my life. And then she got up and someone else sat down. Cried in my arms, said this changed my life. I look up, there's a line of people. Some waited over an hour, just word of mouth, like energy, healing. Can I do this? And I did sessions all day long. And at the end of the day, literally threw my hands in the air and said, okay, I will do this. Started taking clients on the side, financial advisor by day, intuitive advisor by night. I'm living this double life. And within about a year, I left finance and seeing clients, then digital courses, then everything else. You know, I built this whole ecosystem. And after working energetically with so many people, mainly women high achievers, I was a woman in business. So I attracted women in business, executives, entrepreneurs, founders who were in their power in the way that they knew how. They were not in their power in these inherently feminine ways, the psychic and the sexual. And so over time, I noticed patterns, right? I trace any issue somebody would bring to me or next up level they wanted to achieve, we would get there energetically. And I just noticed very quickly that the same place that our sexual energy is sourced or our erotic energy is sourced, they're different, I can define those later, is the same place most of our trauma is stored. And underneath that is your untapped power. And so that became my gateway. I started going directly to sexual energy. So it started as teaching executive women psychic development because they were going through an awakening, then turned into this whole body of work. And so then I spontaneously in 2020 started channeling quantum physics.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Einstein mode, manic channeling state. I have paper on my walls, different colored markers, and I'm just like, proton, electron, sexual energy, and this is how they come together. This is how frequency becomes form, and I'm drawing it on the walls. It's like that meme of the guy, these eyes are bugging out, and there's like math equations. Yeah. Yes, and it's like explaining to your family at Thanksgiving your spiritual awakening, you know? Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense. That was me for months, and I just saw it. It was like this lens within me just turned on.
Question in that. Yeah. When you were going through that, did you take any drugs? Did you go through any processes, or did it just come online? Like, I'm just trying to speak to other people that might be feeling something similar.
Yeah. It was a mix.
Okay.
So for a couple of years when I was channeling a lot, I was smoking weed. Mm. And it, at that time, it helped me bridge dimensions. Mm. Because when, as my psychic senses were coming online, I'm naturally kind of going up here. I'm naturally accessing this like high level frequency information, data.
Yeah.
And then my human is like here in the body, in the logical mind. And when I would take like one or two little puffs of cannabis, it would get me in my body. Mm. I would like feel my body. And so it helped me, rather than go here and then come back down, it would help me kind of expand to be in both at the same time. So that was a tool until I outgrew it. When I work with women, there's zero anything. It's just you, your body, your breath, your focus, your senses, but there was, so it was naturally coming online. And then I did my first ever, and I don't do a lot of plant medicine. I kind of blast off without it. I need to ground, not blast off even further.
Yeah, you're like, I've already been up there.
I'm there a lot, you know, but I did mushrooms. Actually, it was a ceremony that somebody invited me to in Austin, and I was scared. Like, I am very protective of my energy. Mm-hmm. I don't open it around people. I really don't let very many people do energy work on me. I'm like, I'm a fine-tuned. I worked hard to get here, you know?
Yeah.
But it was something I knew I had to do, and their elixir was psilocybin and MDMA. That's an elixir. Oh my God. I'd never done that. This was new. And so as soon as I felt it starting to kick in, I vanished. I'm like, I need to be alone in nature. And I find a tree and dirt. I strip down naked and I'm like laying on the earth. Just
that's awesome.
One with the earth. And that was a really big experience for me that unlocked a lot of the, I'll call them sex codes. I carry sex codes. I see it. I get it. I trace it. It's just something that is within me.
Yeah.
And I was, it was that really brought me back to lifetimes that I remember in Egypt as a sex priestess and teaching the erotic arts and sexual alchemy for healing and all of these things. And so that medicine ceremony kind of took me there, and then sober was the channeling state, you know, unraveling it for a couple of years. And so it just kind of became my lane.
Wow. Why do you think sex magic, I mean, when you look at history, there's so much evidence that it existed. Like, why do you think it's been so suppressed? And now, I mean, I know religion plays a role, but I'm so curious your thoughts on why you feel like, I mean, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say.
But. Yeah. It's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked, because I do think a lot of it is by design. It's really easy to control people who are disconnected from their power. And our power is in our life force energy. It's in our creation, our sexual energy, our psychic senses. Our psychic senses are the connection to the divine. It's your GPS system. And then your sexual energy, your eros, that's your life force, your creation, your passion. Every human on the planet was born through sexual energy. There is no exception.
Right.
And so it's a really quick way to control people and profit off of them, to profit off of disempowerment, to profit off of leaking power, giving your power away to the latest beauty trend or the latest health trend, whatever it is. And I was traveling in Greece in 2021, intuitively led. I just got the message, go channel at Sacred Sites and bring a videographer. Wow. I was like, what are we doing? I don't even know. And so for this part, I was solo. I didn't have a videographer, but I found myself on a remote island that I would have never found, just synchronistic, completely. Mm-hmm. Height of tourist season, everything is booked out. And I had my first week booked and the last 3 weeks, nothing booked. Open. Mm. Open to synchronicity. It was the only way. And so I was on this remote island and there was this little, like a temple or a church. Yeah. And it kept calling to me. And I was like, I'll come to you tomorrow. And I remember going and I'm walking up the hill. It's like switchback up the hill overlooking the water. And I felt like, oh, I've been here before. And it started to feel like I was walking with a group of women. It felt very Mary Magdalene, priestess. Wow. I didn't even know what this church was, but it felt so feminine, so divine mother type of thing. And so I get up there and what do you know? It's the Church of the Divine Mother. And I was like, what do you know?
I mean, a lot of people don't know Mary Magdalene was, there are people that believe she was a sex priestess.
Okay, thank you for saying that. I'll make that connection. Egypt, rose lineage of Mary Magdalene goes back to the priestess Isis in the sexual temples. What they did at many times in history was when men would come back from war and they would go into the temples with the sex priestesses and they would use sexual energy and sexual healing transmutation to do healing so that they could then go back into the world and back into their families without PTSD, without carrying war trauma back into civilian life. Over time, that's been switched and distorted. And at some point, historically, I don't know, but intuitively, I've tracked this for years. There was a group of men that feared that power or felt threatened by that power and started to distort a lot of those practices and those teachings. And that goes through religion as well. And so that's a perfect segue. I'm going into this church and I get in there. It's this tiny church. I sit in a pew and I start sobbing. I'm like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but it's grief and something feels off. Something is just off. And I look around and typically there's something at the front, like Jesus on the cross in modern day or some kind of statue or something. And there's nothing. There's pictures on the walls, just like a montage of pictures. And I look around and it's all men.
Interesting.
Like, we're in the church of the, where's the Holy Mother? And I look on a side wall and there's one picture of the Holy Mother on her deathbed, surrounded by men with Jesus blessing her. It's the only picture of the Holy Mother in the entire church. So I go up to that and I mean, I am crying. And then I just start walking around the perimeter looking at all the pictures and I get to the front and there's like a door in the front wall and it's a little bit cracked and I like start to peek through and the woman in charge is like, what are you doing? Only the priests can go back there. And in my head, I'm like, the priests? It's the Church of the Holy Mother. We're the priestesses. Like, this does not compute. But I got to look through, and behind this wall was the true front of the church with the statue of the Holy Mother.
Oh, whoa.
And so I just got chills. So we hear of, like, the Roman Catholic takeover and that they would go to these other sacred sites and then shift them. It's like you shift the narrative just enough. So it's the Church of the Holy Mother, but energetically it's honoring the death of the Holy Mother and the rise of the patriarchy. And I think that is an example of this patriarchal distortion. And patriarchy isn't men. Patriarchy is honestly unhealed masculine energy that took charge and acted from fear and wounding to suppress power so that they could be in power over another rather than an entire culture in their sovereign power. So that was the distortion. And that, I think, plays into a lot of the suppression of sexual energy, of witchcraft,
witchcraft was women.
Just intuition.
Witchcraft was women. Yeah. Women and their inherent design. Mm-hmm. And so then fast forward, it's the religious programming. It's the, you're a slut if you do and you're a prude if you don't. Who wins that mm-hmm. game?
Yeah.
You know, we have all these narratives about it and it goes back to childhood. You know, you start to feel this force running through you when you're little or approaching puberty. It's your sexual energy. It's your life force. And you start to feel pleasure and you want to explore it. It's very innocent. There's a curiosity. Mm-hmm. And then at some point,
you get shamed.
Something makes it feel not innocent. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. It's bad. It's taboo. It's to be hidden. It's to be done in secret. And so that erotic innocence mm-hmm. disappears. And so men and women. And so we have a culture of people who are at a very young age disconnected from this inherent source of energy, power, vitality, creativity, etc. And we're starting to try to unravel that and reclaim erotic innocence because erotic is not just about the physical act of sex. It is your heart and your sex combined. Energetically, Eros is heart and sex combined. Right. That was a long answer to your question.
I mean, the sacral chakra is the sex chakra, which is creativity and life force and where we literally grow life. So it's literally ironic that we're suppressed in the, I mean, there's so much sexual distortion in our world.
Yeah. And then you even look at like when women get their periods, we're so embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're so embarrassed. We don't want to talk about it. I mean, at this point in my life, I'm a primal girl. I have liberated myself in so many areas and I love my period. I love my blood. I remember in 2020, I was like, I'm going to give it to my plants and I'm going to put it on my face. The stem cells, you know,
the stem cells.
And now research is coming out like, oh my God, the stem cells in period blood. Like it's not dirty. It's life giving.
It's alive. Yeah. I just saw actually someone put their breast milk under a microscope and it looks like glitter. It looks like straight glitter.
I love that.
It was so cool. I was like, wait, what? That's wild. Like it looked like literally like the stars, like the new telescope photos that just came out, which you should highly Google or recommend looking them up on YouTube. But it looked like a galaxy in the breast milk. Like it was a trip. It looked like thousands of millions of stars.
Well, that makes so much sense. Yeah, we are. Of course. We're made up of the same stuff. We are the stars, you know?
Literally.
Yeah.
So one question I want to ask you, because I feel like everything that you've talked about is so expansive. Like, I'm going to go back to expansive for the crowd. How have you owned this part of you? Like, tell me about some of the things that you've had to, like, really work through in order to give yourself permission to let this come through you.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that. It's been a lot. It's been scary. Like, it makes me emotional. It's been so scary. I have had to face so much fear of judgment, fear of being sexualized, which isn't inherently bad. But when you don't know how to speak your truth, when you don't have boundaries, when you don't know how to engage with your own force, it doesn't feel super safe doing that with somebody else. From a really open, expressed place. You know, most women have had some sort of uncomfortable situation with a man, with men. In my 20s, my first job out of college, I was working in sales, outside sales, B2B, selling outdated technology in like business parks. So I would drive around, knock on doors. I'm in my 20s. I had no idea I was hot. I had no idea it was sexy. I was in recovery from an eating disorder. In college, that was my dark night of the soul. All of the energy I absorbed as a psychic kid, I literally began to purge in my early 20s in college. And no one would have known. I put myself in therapy and, you know, I learned to battle the deep, dark demons in my psyche. That was my introduction to shadow work before I knew what that word meant. And so I'm in recovery. I hated my body. I battled my body. My body was not a safe place. But as a kid, I was very comfortable in my body. I was a dancer. I was a deep feeler. I move and I express. And I was, you know, I was in dance. I was center stage. I loved performing. It was just inherent. And I remember from a young age before puberty, people saying, you're so sexy. And I'm like, I'm a child. I haven't grown boobs yet. I don't even have pubic hair. Like, what do you mean? And I was doing a dance in seventh grade, choreographed dance that our teacher taught us all. And there was one move where we like slid down the leg. And my English teacher, she goes, oh, you're a little sex pot. And I was like, what does that even mean? And I was so confused because there was something so natural within me that felt innocent, that felt radiant, that felt like light. And it was perceived as something different. So over time, you know, I just didn't know what to do with it. I kind of shut it down. And then the eating disorder happened, you know, and then fast forward, I'm in doing the sales job and I was sexualized daily. I was like one of few women on an all-male sales team. They were like the top sales team with huge egos. They would openly talk about my ass and this and that. And I wasn't going to take it to HR. I didn't feel like that even existed. That right. would be more bad. Traumatizing. Yeah. Like, I don't want them to yeah. know that I can't handle it. Like, these are sharks. They can't see me vulnerable. No way. And so I just, you know, I had to face that. And even fast forward later, in the speaking world, I was at kind of an industry conference and had an experience with the founder of one of the companies who I thought spoke my language and was like kind of helping me refine like my messaging, and then had an experience after hours where boundaries were leapt over and he perceived my radiance and power and embodiment of my message, which is erotic intelligence and sexual energy is power, as an invitation. And he was drunk and was like, I'm going to make out with who? And I was like, well, that's presumptuous. And somehow I held my power. At one point, he held my hands over my head and I was scared. I was in the dark at a house in a neighborhood I didn't know. I thought this was an industry thing. After hours, it was not. And somehow it was a testament to the work that I had done. I didn't collapse in fear. Mm-hmm. I looked him in the eyes and I said, you can't just take what you want. Was still in a belligerent kind of playful state. Like, he took it as a competition rather than a boundary.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, I can. And I said, with me, you can't. And I saw his eyes switch. And he like sobered and was like, and let me down, like set me down. I mean, it was physical. Like, he was moving me around, you know, like that's scary.
Yeah.
I'm a 5 foot tall woman. There's not much I can do.
Yeah.
And it sobered him. And I didn't realize how much that affected me for a long time. I'm still unraveling from that after I'm like stepping back out into the world with this message and this whole body of work in a new way. I mean, I unplugged for about 2 years. I shut down my whole business right before that happened. So it's been a long journey. I've definitely had to face some of my biggest fears with men. And the blessing of it is that it led me to develop my own inner masculine. We all have masculine and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And rather than feeling like, oh, I'm not safe to be expressed in all the different ways, I need men to be safe. I need men to be something. I learned how to develop my own inner masculine in a way that held boundaries, that could hold my full expression, that so that I was no longer unconsciously needing or seeking validation from men, protection from men, understanding from men. I don't need anything from external masculine because I've harnessed that and I feel safe and solid within myself. And from that place, when I'm in my full expression, I feel reverence from men. I feel men want to be protective. I feel outside men reflecting what I've harnessed within, which is safety, respect, containment. I can be lit up and turned on by life and magnetic and running my own life force through my body,
contained within me rather than directing it at somebody and needing that to be reciprocated. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long journey, mm-hmm. but that inner union is one of the biggest pieces that I think is important to anchor, to be able to be fully expressed, especially in your magnetism, because that's most women's fears. Like, if I'm magnetic, what am I going to attract? Mm-hmm. Well, when you harness your inner masculine, that magnet, it's contained.
There's so much.
I know there's a lot.
Yeah. Like, what do I say? I mean, the first thing on magnetism, because like, what's so hard when I think about like being fully expressed and like we crave this fullest expression, we finally give ourselves permission. Something that you went through is like you gave yourself permission and then you found you received unsafety.
Yeah.
And I think that's something so important to talk about, yeah. because I think when people are expressing themselves, no matter how unattached they are, they give themselves to finally play in their expression, whether it is just through life, business, or in love, erotically, it's important to also protect yourself, like mm-hmm. kind of not need the validation on the other end.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. And that's where that inner union comes in, because it's like when you're more in your expression, like I think about dancing, for example, I go out with my girlfriends, we're on the dance floor and we're dancing, we're booty shaking, we're body rolling, we're just feeling it. We're not looking around the room, we're just in the moment. There was a time in my life where like a man might come up and like touch my waist or do, you know, that type of thing. And that
makes me so mad whenever they would do that.
Infuriating.
So infuriating. Or they just come up and like think that they could just like dance with you.
Yeah.
Like no permission. I didn't give them permission.
No.
Yeah. I never said come over.
Right. Yeah. But they took it as an invitation.
Because I was in my expression of dancing.
Yes. Oh, but now.
And then the only time you can get out of it is with your girlfriends.
Yes. Because you're
hey, no.
You're like, you have a sign.
Yeah.
You're like,
take me over. And then your girls are like taking you over. Something I think about to those moments, like now, because obviously I'm not in that position. Now I have Nick in my life and I'm not. If that did happen, I'd be like, excuse me. I think I would literally be like, excuse me. What are you doing?
Yeah, no.
And give them kind of like a little wake-up call. Because I'm like, this wasn't permission.
Right. But get this. Now that I've developed my masculine, I have my own boundaries. I speak my truth. I am contained. I can be fully expressed. And it's like contained in my own field. It's not something you see. It's not something. It's felt.
Yeah.
It's embodied. A man wouldn't dare. Mm. A man would not dare. I see it.
Yeah.
Because I've been out with friends who don't have that same inner masculine developed in their full expression. A man comes up and she's like, oh, you know, kind of engages and to feel okay, but then you're engaging. So you're inviting more of it, you know? Whereas I would have no problem being like, I don't need to smile at you.
Yeah.
I don't owe you politeness. I don't need to be rude, but I'm not afraid to hold a boundary. And that is felt. To the point where most men feel it, so they don't even approach it.
Yeah.
They're not going to cross it because they feel a boundaried, magnetic woman. Mm-hmm. And that's where the reverence comes from, because they feel the radiance. Like radiance fuels a room.
Yeah.
I had an experience last night in this red dress, which is why I'm wearing it today, with Jen Hershey. Y'all know Jen Hershey. Mm-hmm. She and I went out and we kept looking at each other like, are you experiencing this too? Like, we'd never felt more magnetic. I mean, and like, yes, we look nice, but we're in Orange County. Everyone looks nice. Everyone's gorgeous.
Yeah,
like, we're not supermodels.
Yeah.
Like, sure, aesthetics help, but it was not that. It was something else completely. And we made a grand entrance, not even trying. I mean, people stopped what they were doing, turned to look. We saw jaws drop. We would walk by a group of people and they would go silent. We were just like, what is happening?
Yeah,
and we were so fully expressed. But again, we felt that reverence because we're not needing anything, seeking anything, not like dancing, but projecting your awareness mm-hmm. out through other people to see what it might look like or who might be watching. Like there was none of that. And so it's like as you develop that inner union, you feel safe within yourself. You don't need to outsource that to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And since you have that within, that's reflected externally.
Mm-hmm. I think in those, I think about my moments, like back when, like, because I've had moments like that too, but I think where you get tested is when the man does come up. Or like, that's like, even there are still some men out there. Sure. They're going to be like, why are you so serious? They'll try and poke you a little bit. Yeah. And so what would you do in that, in those moments?
I love to play with power dynamics. Because, and this is where another example of like where looking at your sex life, it relates to everything in your life. Mm-hmm. But power dynamics, meaning you can be sovereign in your power. I'm just running my power in my own body. Or there's power over another. You play with power dynamics. That can be fun to play with. And sometimes it's, you don't want it. It doesn't feel good. So if a man comes up like that, like, you should smile more. Or like, why are you so serious? Or like, mm-hmm. puts a hand on you. They're taking a stance of power and you're feeling less lower. Powerful. Mm-hmm. And so to even the playing field, if they asked a question, I would ask a question back. Put the spotlight on them. Mm-hmm. What makes you think you can? Why do you think I would? Why do I owe you my? Why don't you smile more? You know? And that then he's putting his energy on me and then I'm putting it back on him. Or walk away. You know,
you don't have to entertain it.
Yeah.
Literally not at all. But if I want to even the playing field, you know, I can do that. And I can have fun with that now because I don't feel threatened by it. Mm-hmm. There could still be moments where, like, it triggers something. But for the most part, I've had so many of them and worked through a lot of them that, good Lord, like, harnessing your power ain't easy. You know, it's no small feat. And I really respect the process because you have to face all your shit. But I think you can just shut it down or you can play with it and just refuse to be empowered over.
What makes me sad is that what got me to that place was experiences like what you experienced, but worse. And it's sad that like women have to get to that place where it's like, well, you're either going to continue to be energetically taken advantage of, physically taken advantage of, or you're going to stand in your power. And I used to be very blonde. So people used to like assume I was a party girl and like that I was dumb. And I'm like, I'm very highly intelligent. My favorite way to do power dynamics is to be smarter than someone. Yes. Like not in a mean way, but just in like, oh, you think I'm stupid? Like you think I'm a party girl? Like bring it on. Which now I don't even, again, I don't attract these situations anymore. I think I view them as gratitude now for the lesson in helping me step into my power. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I wish women could get to this place without having to experience, like I told, we talked about actually, like one day I went for a walk. This is actually the one time most recently, the things like this don't ever happen. Like I'm kind of like you, like I don't attract them. Like I'm so in my power. Like no one would dare. No one would dare. You don't even want to fuck with this. Okay. But like I was on a walk and I was leaving a voice note for someone and this guy, I think he felt ignored by me. I don't know. I can't project. Like, I have no idea. But he was like, hi. I mean, we're like, I'm talking like he was like 20 feet away, 30 feet away. And I'm just like, hi. You know, and he's like, how's your night going? I was like, fine. And I just left it at that, you know, and he's like, okay, like trying to like egg me on. And I'm just like, first of all, how dare you? Like, I don't owe you anything. I don't even know you. But also it just makes me think of all the moments of microaggressions that mm-hmm. women have to, I don't think men truly understand like what women have to perceive. Like when I was 20 years old, I remember living in Hawaii, walking with my mom and she's like, does it ever get tiring that all these men stare at you? Mm-hmm. And I was just in a place of like, I don't even want to take it in. So I'm like, I don't notice. And that was the journey that I had to go at. And then being taken advantage of or being made fun of, you know, whatever, or they turn it on you and try to shame you or sexualize you or all these things mm-hmm. until you get to the place that you're at or I'm at where or Corinne is at where you're like you take your power back and you're just like,
well, it's like you have to see where it's leaking to be able to take it back.
Yeah,
talk about that.
Okay,
what does it mean for your energy to leak and how does it leak?
Great question. So I'll say it energetically first and then like how that shows up in life. So energetically, when your energy is flowing, let's say vertically, we have our center line of energy. When you're sexual energy, your heart energy, your mind, when it's flowing together, you have an internal circuit. That's your sovereign power. It's like your battery turns on. Mm. You're light, you're bright, you're radiant, you're on. When you're leaking power, it will leak out horizontally to someone else. So either I want your validation. I don't feel I'm insecure in this area. Validate me. Mm. Or I don't feel safe. Protect me. Something like that. Or specifically sexually of you know, I want to feel pleasure, so I'm going to seduce you. I want you to give me pleasure. You know, I need an external thing for this erotic experience. Or I think for women, it's a lot of self-worth and self-confidence. We outsource our self-worth and our self-confidence. And it's designed that way.
Yeah, we're like living by impossible beauty standards. And
that isn't even real. It's not even real. And it's wild. And I mean, we have industries that make billions of dollars profiting off of our low self-worth.
Yeah.
The system at large profits off of disempowerment, low self-worth, and being disconnected from ourselves. And that's why it's such a rebellious thing to connect to what is considered so taboo, which is actually the most sacred, which is your psychic and your sexual. It's all there. So it can leak in a lot of different ways. And I think most people don't realize where it's leaking. You just don't know. It shows up in work, in the boardroom, in the bedroom, in relationships with your kids. It shows up in every area of your life. And until you, you know, start to tune into it, once you start to see it, you're like, oh my God. So it doesn't have to be like a low moment.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us, it is, because there is so much deconditioning that we need to do just societally and culturally. But it can also be from kind of an expansion point, right? Like, we can do it from a contraction point, or we can do it from an expansion point. And I think it's powerful to learn different healing tools to work through some of those contractions. But once you develop a tool belt, like, let's reorient. And let's now start looking at our expansion point. What do I want to step into? What do I want to attract? What do I want to create? That is a different orientation of how we can start playing with, okay, well, who do I need to be for this? And you automatically will start seeing where, oh, I don't feel in my power here, or I'm going to step on stage in front of 10,000 people. I've never done that. Did it this year. And I'm like, I think I can hold it. I feel like I've trained for this in my nervous system, visually, you know, emotionally.
You do things.
You don't know until you get there. Yeah. But that was stepping into more of my power through an expansion point, you know. And so you automatically start to see, oh, I feel powerful in front of 5,000 people. How am I going to feel in front of 10,000 people? So my point is, I think you can harness your power from both directions, and those micro leaks of energy or of power will naturally present themselves, because you know what that feels like to feel empowered or to not.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Can we define what power means? Because I think like for women, like, I'm in my power. I've seen it show up as, how do I say this? In relationship as like, well, he has to have all the answers. I don't want to have to ask. Or I'm in my power, and that's not being in your power. I think being your power is asking for clarity, telling him what you want, what you desire, speaking your truth. But I think sometimes the word power of like, I'm in my power, it kind of makes me think of Krista, for example. There was this woman that we went to the show and blah, blah, blah. She was talking, she went on this call and she was really upset with her team. And she, I wouldn't say she ripped them a new one, but she was being that badass businesswoman to her team, and she was really upset. And then her business partner reflected back to her. She's like, hey, I think you owe them an apology. And she goes, well, I thought I was in my power. I thought I was being this badass bitch, businesswoman, in my power. So can we try and define the difference between actually being in your most sovereign divine power without being this power that hurts or takes or is coming from a place of lack?
I love this question.
There's a difference.
There's a huge difference. So again, I'll start energetically, because that's just my orientation. Energetically, you could call your power your life force energy. It's your life force energy is the energy you breathe in when you take your first breath, and the energy you breathe out when you take your last breath. Your body is still here. Your life is gone. It's changed form. Because your life force is gone. So that life force energy is what animates your mind, your mental intelligence, your heart, your emotional intelligence, your sex, your sexual intelligence, your body, your somatic intelligence. And so when people come to me, I'll trace their life force through their body, through their various intelligences, and see in their actual internal energetic circuitry, kind of like a surgeon, like, oh, here, got it. Here's the circuit where it should be. Here's where it's leaking, or here's where it's blocked. Here's where it's not flowing. So that's it energetically. Your power is when your life force energy can fully flow within your body as a closed circuit, kind of like a light bulb. In a closed electrical circuit, the light bulb comes on. That's your radiance. That's your power. When that circuit is broken, it's automatically going to seek to connect through someone or something else. Does that make sense? So that's kind of a leaking of the power, and that's where it can become power over another. Your power requires someone else to engage, because it's not just within you. So when you're disconnected from your heart, like in The Bad Bitch, she's like, I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah.
Is your heart open when you're doing that? Is there empathy when you're doing that? Are you considering the feelings of the other person as you're communicating? Are you communicating consciously? Or is this power only being filtered through your mind and what you think you need and your voice and this authentic expression, but disconnected from the heart, which takes the room into account? You see what I'm saying?
And that's the thing in relationship as well. Because, like, I love that you connected to your heart. There's such a difference when you are in your power and you're completely disconnected from your heart.
That's what you see in the world.
You feel. Yeah. That's what a lot of people say. But it's the same thing in relationship or dating dynamics, whatever you're in. It's like, yeah, you can totally stand in your truth, but, like, are you still in your heart?
And that's the true power. Because it's easy to close the heart and defend. Or to...
Ice queen.
To protect.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a growing capacity to feel the depth of your heart when you're in a situation like that. And that's the real growth, because we've learned for the heart to just zoop, close, door shut, lock it, you know? And so as you can practice, like, pause, take a breath, because you're probably racing in your head. That passion, that chakra, or that sacral chakra energy, that life force is moving, but it's moving around the heart directly into the mind. It's fueling the thoughts and what you want to say and what you believe and what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, it's in this linear thing, and it'll fuel that. That power is going straight to the mind. But if it's not also connected through the heart, then you're disconnected from that entire intelligent system of emotional intelligence.
It sounds like you're saying, like, true power is being in the light of awareness, like standing as the observer. If you're in the presence and you're just observing all that is, you're in your heart space, you're there, you're in your power. You don't have to be right. You don't have to show off. You don't have to tell someone anything, really. You could just be. Is that fair?
Yes. And I think it's also feeling. Most people stop feeling. You go numb, you disassociate, you go into the head. So it's, can I be in my rational mind while also in my body? In my emotions. And that's hard. That takes practice and work. And that's where, especially in relationships, there is so much unconscious leaking of power, especially in the modern day polarity teachings, which has a lot of value, and some of it I think has gone off the rails a little bit.
Yeah.
Of needing a safe man. True. Have you developed safety within yourself? No one can do that for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then as you do that, you can attract somebody who also honors that and then can then take some of that masculine role by choice.
Right.
Not because you need it to survive. And that's, again, two sovereign power systems coming together. So it's like two closed circuits.
It's crazy how triggered people, especially men, get when you talk about, like, masculinity and femininity. Oh my God, they just go off the rails.
Oh, it's a hot topic.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. We live in a dualistic world. Like, you're both. I don't, like, you're never just, no man's supposed to just be a big, strong man all the time. Like,
no. And it's so scary for men to get into their feminine, into their feelings. Just like for women, it's really scary, it's for, scary for us. For us.
Yeah,
it
for
is.
Us too. Yeah.
It is. But I think as far as with a partner, especially men, women, yes, our heart is scary. Also, our sex is scary.
Yeah.
Some women, I mean, again, sometimes it's, what's the word? It's very transactional. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, well, I'll lend you my body. I'll lend you my sex. I'll lend you pleasure if you lend me provision, safety, attention. It's this like linear exchange. And that's an example of the a power leak.
Right.
It's transactional. You need someone on the other end
to give you
what, what you need. It's a transaction versus when it's really just within yourself and there's two people that have really harnessed themselves, just your authenticity.
Yeah.
You know,
like you're both sovereign.
You're sovereign in your masculine and your feminine. You can hold a boundary, you can also express. Then you can come together in a really beautiful way that is the technology of union, which is a whole different topic, but
yeah. I love this. There's so much. I'm like, okay, one last thing, because we're starting to get so, there's already been an hour, which is crazy.
Oh my God.
I know, it's insane. I want to talk a little bit about more of the magnetism. So like when you do get to this place of like really aligning your truth, your sovereignty, respecting yourself, learning how to create safety within yourself while also expressing yourself through the world, what can happen? What could you receive?
Literally anything. So I'm just going to bring in the quantum just briefly.
Bring it in.
Okay, great. So the quantum field is pure potentiality, where everything already exists in frequency form. Anything can pop from frequency into form like that. Mm-hmm. If our awareness is on it, if we're vibrating with it, if it wants to come through us, right? We're a vessel for it. And I need to touch on manifestation for a second. So most modern day manifestation is taught from a masculine energetic perspective. You see it, you project your consciousness into the field, you feel it so you can vibrate with it, and then it'll come into form. That's valid, but it's coming from a masculine orientation.
Be do you have.
Valid. Feminine orientation that I've not heard anybody talk about is we are the field. We don't need to project what we desire into it. We just be. We radiate.
I just listened to a woman talk about this. Actually.
Really?
That you already are the awareness. There is nothing to go out and bring in. It's already all there. And that the universe is truly abundance and God, source, whatever you want to call it, it's already there for you.
Yes.
Just to be open to receiving. Like there's nothing to project outward.
Yes.
It just all is.
We are the vessel.
Yeah.
And whatever is in our highest good can come through that vessel, through an aligned meeting or an idea or a whatever, and you follow that intuitive GPS system, that intuitive intelligence, that's God, the divine, guiding you through the quantum field that we can't see. And then our magnetism, our radiance, that sovereign internal source of power, the heart, the body, the expression, all of it creates this magnetism that then draws those particles into form. So you don't need to have a whole big vision board, although I love doing that. That's fun. And that can help, you know, get you in the right space. But with magnetism, it's, are you open to receive, period? Mm-hmm. And are you open to receive something that you don't even know could exist? Are you open? Do you feel safe receiving? Do you feel safe with that much energy, attention, visibility coming at you? So there's like some nervous system regulation that needs to come into that. But I truly believe, and I'm on fire for it, women who are embodied in their power, their intuitive intelligence, erotic intelligence, and therefore are inherently magnetic, can absolutely change the fucking world. Amen.
Yes. So good. Okay. Now I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
So where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? Mm. This can be life, love, or business.
It's definitely business for me. Mm. Business and love, but the love is more of, I just have to meet my match. I have to meet my person. I feel very fully expressed when I'm in an aligned relationship. It's been a while because it, you know, you the more you develop yourself,
the smaller the pool gets.
Yeah. And I've just really landed in this sense of peace and abundance, just of joy in my own life. So when that happens, like, I'm dying to be more fully expressed in relationship. Mm-hmm. But until that comes in, I'm just in my life. So aside from that, it's really, it's business. I shut down everything 2 years ago because I heard intuitively, are you willing to let it all go to receive what's next? And I did. And I uprooted my life. I shut down my revenue streams. I moved across the country. You know, I've refined my body of work. I started stepping into keynote speaking and was like, oh, that's not my message. God, this thing happened. You know, so it's been pretty tumultuous. And I'm ready to share. I'm ready to get this work out there, the book. I'm about to launch a podcast and I'm trying to figure out my format. And I'm taking private clients again, which feels really good. But I know there's some new expression of this work that I just don't see yet. And I'm kind of crawling out of my skin for it. I'm like, give me a mic and 10,000 people and let's get in our bodies and do the thing. And I love it. But I think that's where I'm craving that full expression more. And it's some, I just don't know what it looks like. Mm. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love when you're on that edge of something new. You know, and it's like the birthing of, like, especially when you get to this place of really trusting yourself fully. Mm-hmm. I was in a similar space like 2 years ago. I think I told you this on our walk. Maybe I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I forgot. But basically, like, there was this inner knowing that something new is coming through and I don't know what that is. And I think we hear that more than we want. And I think something that Rosie said that, like, really landed in me, it's like, have patience. Give yourself enough time to receive the thing that's coming. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I don't know how she said it so beautifully, but she was just like, have, you know, take the time. Like, it's okay. Like, there is no thing to rush it. And I think in business specifically, it's so easy to be like, well, I want it to come through already because I want to create it. I want to see it come together. There's like this masculine energy of force and push. Mm-hmm. And you're so talking to like the intuitive wait.
Yes.
And the intuitive wait is where something new will be born. And sometimes you just can't not rush the process.
And especially if you want to create from your feminine essence, like even though I created a spiritual intuitive business, it was still a lot for my masculine energy. And when I moved out here, I declared loud and sassy, I will only create the next chapter of my life from personal fulfillment and overflow. Mm. And I didn't know it would take me a solid year of dying several parts of myself and unraveling fear, scarcity, lack that I didn't even know was still there. Like, I had to become a different version of myself and find that inner peace and let it come through that. I get some of my best intuitive ideas after a night out dancing. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my God. You know, I can't sit down and put together a logical plan. Yeah. I'm in my body, in my joy, in my radiance and magnetism. And then the idea drops in. So it's like you just have to, I think, be patient with that process and trust that your joy is valuable just for the sake of joy. Mm. And it is a worthy thing to pursue because it's not just for yourself. It can create with an intelligence that is goes far beyond what the logical mind can predict. And I think that's something that I would really love for women to reorient towards is your own joy and your own turn on for life, because that's where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you've something has been created through you that you could have never imagined. And you wonder how it was done. And it's like that sacred pause that allows that to happen.
Mm-hmm. We need the season.
Yes.
Nick, I don't know why this is coming up, but like when you birth a human, right? We need 9 months of preparation. You don't just like all of a sudden get pregnant and then the baby comes.
And right. Sometimes 10 months. I mean, sometimes longer. Even 10
yeah.
months.
Yeah. Case,
but the if, body, you fall, if you don't let Western medicine intervene.
True.
But the body needs that time for mm-hmm. this incredible, yeah. magical human that you can't even describe. Like, how did you, you know?
How did this happen?
How did this happen? Like, yeah. I mean, even till this day, I don't think we've actually answered that question.
Yeah.
And
you don't know what the baby looks like until the baby comes out.
Yeah.
You're birthing something and you don't even know what it is.
You don't yeah. even have to, like, until technology, you don't need to know what it has. And so right. many women did not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's beautiful.
Again, you're doing that with this next idea.
Thank yeah. you.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see this beautiful child that you have.
Oh my yeah. God, me too. It feels close.
I have
close.
No idea what it looks like.
It feels close. Yeah. It's breaching. I think we might be starting to breach. Yeah.
Did your water break yet?
Not yet.
She's in labor. Oh my God, imagine texting all your girls. I'm in labor, finally.
They would actually understand. They would totally get it.
This business idea is here.
They're yeah. like, I've been pregnant for like a year and a half. It's the yeah. longest pregnancy of my life. Time. I know.
It's divine logic.
Totally. Immaculate conception.
Yeah. Whole nother topic.
Yes, God.
We'll go there. But thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. This was great.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Yeah, we appreciate you so much. Again, I can't wait for anyone to listen to this. It's just going to be
yeah, so good.
Beyond. In the best ways.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in you on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your honest thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create content that better serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.